So this is our Wednesday evening service. Welcome, the internet audience also. And we will read from several places in the Bible, but I thought to start with Psalm 8. Psalm 8 from verse 1. And maybe the title could be, What is Man? There's a title of the sermon. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And this is a meditation about God, his creation, and man. And first he says, your name is majestic in all the earth, and also you have set your glory in the heavens. It's on the earth and in the heavens. Everywhere, anywhere we look, is the glory of God. It's his majesty, it's his beauty, his power, how he created, and his beauty, how he made everything beautiful. Then I skip to verse 3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. When I was reading that, I thought that we live in such a man-made environment where it's very seldom that we actually look at the creation of God and are amazed. At least it doesn't happen to me so often. When I was younger, I was looking at the stars sometimes. And I like how it says that it's the work of God's fingers. It's just, it's not really hard work, but it's just a little playful. He put them there, and they are there. And to imagine the vastness of the universe, understand the greatness of God, I think that's even more amazing than to see the complexity on the earth. To think about the whole universe, and how it was all made by him. And then to focus our attention on this little planet, and then the one being man, who is created to the image of God. And then we really have this question, like David had, who am I? What is man? Why was I given such honor? And before we go on, I just thought to bring up three things about man, three possible answers to the question, what is man? And the first one is that man is a machine. There have been many who thought that man is nothing but a machine in the sense that everything that we do is pre-programmed. There are instincts that we follow. If you look at the body, it's governed by the brain and the neurons and all the different chemical processes that happen in the body. It's a very complicated machine, but it's nothing more than that. It's just a machine. So we have pills for sicknesses which work for the most part, but then this view doesn't see the immaterial part of man. And we try to treat the soul also based on the body. We think that if we just find the right spot in the body, in the brain or wherever, then the emotions will be healed also. But it's not true. And we see also man is not a machine. Of course, we eat when we are hungry. We do the opposite when we need to. We take a shower when we are dirty. We have many things that we do just because, maybe we could even say that it's born, with us. We have natural instincts. A baby starts walking. Nobody has to tell it that it has to walk. There are many things that seem to work, but there are many things that don't fit into this description of man. Man is not just a machine. Individuals are so different and so unique. And like we brought up before the message, parents can teach children exactly the same, and they turn out to be very different. What determines those choices that they make in life? It would be so easy, wouldn't it, if I would be only the result of the input. The output would be like the input. That's a machine, but man is not a machine. Then the other view is that man is an animal, a highly developed animal. That's who we are. And I don't have to name the theory which teaches that, but it's handled as a hardly accepted fact. We are like animals. We look like animals. We function like animals. We have a lot of things in common with animals. But still, we are not animals. And I think most of us understand it instinctively. Not only because we can speak and think and make fire and build houses, but animals can't. But we are somehow very different. And this is what we see in this psalm. And it's actually amazing. David says about man in verse 4, 5, 6, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings." Actually, the word there for heavenly beings is Elohim, which is God. "And crown him with glory and honor. And you have given him dominion over the works of your hands. And you have put all things under his feet." This is what we see on this earth. That man is higher than all other creation. Everything is put under our feet. And we see that in technology, development, how the resources of the earth are being used by man. Actually, man is changing its environment and starts being concerned. Is it too much of a change? Enormous power. We could destroy this earth in a few minutes' time. So much power that man is given by God. If we turn to Genesis 1, then we see the creation of man. And I know that we know this, but I thought to go there anyways, just because it's good to read it word by word. When we see how God created man, then we understand a little bit more what God's thought was when he created him. So it's Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." I forgot that I should use my digital Bible, but that's okay. So it says twice that God created man to his own image. And we don't read it about anything else. Not the animals, the land animals, or the fish, or the birds. We don't read it about the angels either. And I believe this is the key to understand what man is. The image of God. Not that God would look like we look, because we know that he doesn't have body. He is a spirit. But man is the closest thing that comes to God in representation, representing Him. And I think when we see what power God gave to man, then we understand we are here in His stead, so to say. He gave dominion to man over the earth and all the animals, to rule over them. And for me, it means to take care of them. We know that from Genesis 2, when God made the animals, He brought them to Adam. And Adam had to give a name. And that also shows authority. Giving name to something means that I have power. I pronounce who they are, what they are. Then there's a garden of Eden, which was also Adam's to take care of it. That was his job, Adam and Eve, to take care of the plants and the animals. And I always like reading Metro, and especially I like the animal rights activists. For some reason I find them very amusing. And I have double emotions about it, because on one hand I understand that this is an area where we fail as man, to take care of the planet, to take care of the animals. It means to provide for them, it means to serve them, it means to give them a good life, to guarantee what they need for their well-being. But on the other hand, I think that it goes a little bit out of proportions. And if we think that animals are living and feeling beings just like we are, that's a little bit going too far. Animals are alive, animals do feel things, but they are not made to the image of God. We don't read it about them. They are not equal to us in any way. And I just find it amusing to read. I don't think that animals shouldn't carry any more weights. They shouldn't be used for work. I don't believe that they shouldn't be shown in circus. I don't believe that they shouldn't be eaten.
No.
Because God made everything with a purpose. Everything He created has a purpose. So the next place that I would like to turn to is Genesis chapter 9. And that's God's new covenant with Noah after the flood. So I turn there in my digital Bible. And we can read from verse 1, Genesis 9. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens and everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your life's blood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man." So, what we see here is that God actually gives the animals to man to eat them. I just thought to read it because it is actually there in the Bible. God says every animal, all of them, is food for man. And also that every beast who kills a man will be punished for that. So what we see there is that it's okay for man to kill the animals, but the animals cannot kill people. Why? Because God has put us above the animals. We are higher than they are in His plan. So, I know maybe it's a little bit funny that I talk about this when Pastor Mikael is not here. I don't do it on purpose. but anything that moves, even if it says woof woof, it's okay to eat. Maybe not my own. That was a funny story. I remember when Pastor Matti came to Hungary when he was in a station in Samarkand, and they had a dog. And then sometimes he left Uzbekistan, came to Hungary or Finland or wherever, and then they went back again. And one time when he came to Hungary, he said, "Last time when I went back to Samarkand, I couldn't find my dog." And I I know that those people eat dog. And I suspect that it was a neighbor. When he came to my house, he was patting the dog and feeling it. I think because he couldn't prove it ever, but maybe it was a neighbor. So rights for animals, I know about that. Because my question is this: if we should recognize everybody or everything that is alive with equal rights, what about the plants? I think that we have a preference to choose things which look like we do as equals, but it doesn't necessarily have to do with what's right. But plants feel also, they are alive. They cannot run away, they cannot scream, so then is it okay to eat them then? No. Where do we draw the line? And I think this is the guideline, what the Word of God says.
Next group that is coming up is going to be protecting the plants.
Yeah, actually I was thinking to start one of those just for fun on the internet and see what results it would bring.
Probably we'd start something.
I mean, just consider how many trees there are in Sweden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they decide about the future of the planet?
They're here on the table.
Yeah. There. <Dead.
laughs>
All right.
Yeah.
So, just to conclude, man is created to the image of God. And God wanted to place himself. He placed his glory in all his creation. The whole earth and all the heavens speak about it, but he also placed us on the earth, man, who are very much like him, so that anybody who looks at us could realize and recognize that there is a God and what he must be like. And it's not a foreign concept to put an image somewhere to represent a ruler. Ancient rulers, or not so ancient rulers, liked statues of themselves being put up at different places, right? God made us, and we are the ones who represent him in this earth, on this earth. But I think we can conclude that we don't rule well. God intended us to rule well, to have dominion over the earth, and to rule, but we can't do it right. So we go to the last place I would like to read today, and that's Hebrews chapter 2. And that's actually a place where this psalm is quoted, and then there's a little bit of something that's added at the end. So Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 6. It says, "It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present we do not yet see everything in subjection to him." And that's interesting, I think. We cannot rule well. There's something that's missing. God intended us to be his representation on the earth, to run the business for him, so to say, but we cannot. And there's one thing that he brings up which is very important in verse 14 and 15. Oh, sorry. I have to look at my notes because I skipped something. verse 9, of course. But, and this is the point that needs to be there in every message, and that's Jesus. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. And then, I'm a little bit lost in my notes, now comes verse 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Why is it that we could rule well? It is because of the enemy. It's because of the devil came and disturbed everything. And there is the one who came, who was made a little bit lower than the angels or a God himself for a little bit. He was God himself, but he was made a little bit lower for a little while. And he tasted death for our sake. And that's the most vicious enemy we have, is death. Because sin has its rule through the punishment of death. If there is no death, there is no punishment for sin. But there is death, and we have sinned, and we are afraid of it, all of us. It said here in Hebrews 2:15 that we were slaves for a lifetime, slaves to death. There is no better motivation than the fear of death. When people are afraid for their lives, they can do incredible things. Short term, but also working long because they don't want to die. This is what everybody is looking for, the source of youth, the immortality. Even if my body dies, I want something to remain after me, somebody to remember. I want my name always to be remembered. I want to create something in my lifetime that would last forever, and that's how I will be immortal. Or I want medical science to come up with a solution to freeze my body, because I hope that then hundreds of years later there will be another discovery. Because actually there's no explanation why the body gets old. It's a fantastic machine. I almost said machine. It's really fantastic. It shouldn't get old. It can reproduce itself. It can rebuild those things that are destroyed. I think the whole body, all the cells, are replaced every 7th year.
Yeah.
That's incredible. There's nothing that's old. Nothing is older than 7 years. So why do we die? It's because of the curse. It's because of sin. It's because of the righteous punishment of God. And so Jesus came and he destroyed the one who has power over death, which is the devil. Tasted death for us. And now we are like he is. Those who accepted him, those who are born into this new life in Christ. And now we are the ones, really. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. He sat down because his work is finished. He received a name that is higher than all names, and we are placed in him. And now we can rule and reign because we have a new nature. We don't have sin, we don't have selfishness anymore. We have become like Jesus because we are in him. And that's incredible to me. What is man that you are that you think about him. What is man that you care for him? He's a little bit lower than God. He is made to God's image. And man is fallen into sin. He cannot do what it was made to do, what it was created to do. That is to be a servant. Ruling is to be a servant. To be a servant of all other things that God gave to his power. So Jesus came and he became the one, the perfect king, the ultimate ruler, and we in him. I just would like to read these verses again from Hebrews 2 and finish here, because it was really a blessing for me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. God did not send his son. God didn't come to the animals to help them. God did not to take a form of a plant on himself to come and save the planet, right? But he became a man. He shared in our life because we are the ones who were made to his image. We are the ones who he is after. We are the ones who have an eternal soul. We are the ones who have an eternity to spend in hell or heaven. And we are the ones who have a chance to live that purpose that God has created us to live. And that's what this life is a preparation for, I believe. We learn about him. We learn spiritual life. We learn hearing from the Spirit. We learn moving in the Spirit. We learn speaking from the Spirit or through the Spirit. We learn seeing through the eyes of the Spirit. And we grow in that, and when we pass on from here into eternity, we'll just continue being humans, and that is to take care of those who are given us to take care of, and to be a blessing in serving them. So thank you, Jesus. Really, when we look at your creation, then we wonder really how come that we are so special. And there is actually no answer, only that you made us to be special, that you made us to your own image, and that you desire to have fellowship with us. Thank you, God, that when we were in trouble, when we were in sin, you didn't leave us. You didn't just go on to create another world which would be perfect, but that you sent your son. Thank you that he was in a body like ours. He went through everything that we go through, and also he tasted death for all of us in a way that we never have to. And thank you that he took care of the sting of death, that we don't have anything to be afraid of anymore. Thank you that we are lifted up even higher in Jesus. Thank you that we can come close to you, really. And we say also, like David says, how excellent is your name, Lord. O Lord, how excellent. There's nothing that we can say when we see how special we are in your eyes than to say thank you. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.